From a town where no one wants to coach the college football team, I'm Zach Bowman.
From the barrio of Long Beach, California, I'm Michelle Naranjo.
From the Wang of America in Jacksonville, Florida, I'm Jeffrey Ross.
From the Roundabout Studios in the Mota City, I'm Eric Kritko.
And I'm producer Ben Sanders.
And I'm your host, Craig Cole.
This is Roundabout.
Hello and welcome to Roundabout, episode number 19, our weekly chat covering car culture, vehicle reviews, and some of the auto news you may have missed.
Every week, like a middle-aged big cat, we prowl the nightclubs of the internet in search of unsuspecting prey. On the hunt, we find all kinds of targets to hit on and news stories to talk about. If we're lucky, or showing enough cleavage, we'll bag a med school student with access to free Botox, or maybe even a cohesive, zen-like theme. Along the way, we'll spend our late husband's life insurance money like high rollers, doing whatever and whoever we want. Don't worry, though. We can't get pregnant. Like an 86 Hyundai Excel, our underbody rusted out when the first Bush was in office.
Wow.
So here we are. You like that, Zach?
I don't think anybody who heard that's going to be offended by the F-bomb. That's all I'm going to say. Not to defend my poor vocabulary, but, you know, I was going to put that out there.
Well, I believe it was GM employee that gave me the inspiration for that one. So
all right,
thank you out there, GM employee.
Well done.
But anyway, Roundabout episode 19. Here we are, gathered once again. Yeah. Eric Kritko joining me in the studio right now from Dearborn, Michigan. Eric, thank you again.
Yeah, good to be back.
Yeah, we're glad to be on, you know, back to a quasi-normal schedule here. Last week we had the studio all torn down. We had to go down to Cobo Hall in Detroit for the auto show to do some live webcasting. So we couldn't do the show at our normal time, but we're making up for it this week. We've got just an all-star lineup of stuff to talk about. And, of course, joining our discussion via Skype, Michelle Naranjo from Long Beach. How are you?
Hello.
Hello, hello. How's the Heineken?
Well, I just popped it. It tastes pretty good.
That's good. That's good. And speaking of beer, I do believe our good friend Zach Bowman is also drinking as well.
You know it.
What have you got there? A Natty Light or?
Only way I can get through the show. No, it's a Troganator Double Bock by the Trog Brewery. Good stuff.
Sounds like a good beer.
It is. It's 8.2% worth of goodness.
You're not going anywhere tonight.
No, sir.
Maybe the emergency room. And, of course, Jeff Ross from Florida. How are you, Jeffrey? Jeff Rose.
Good. No beer, but having a good night nonetheless.
Even talking to us, you're having a good night?
It's still early.
All right. Really good. So, all right, guys. The dust has settled. The flash bulbs have gone dark. And press days are over at the 2010 North American International Auto Show. And that can only mean one thing. It's time for a recap of the events, which is why this week's theme is NAIAS.
It's no longer the NAIAS.
I don't care. I'm calling it the NAIAS.
What is it now?
It's the Detroit Auto Show.
Period? Like, amen?
Yes.
Ah, shh.
Well,
I screwed up a lot of features, then, I'll be honest
with
you.
Well, no, it's unofficially, it's still officially called the NAIAS or the NIAS or whatever you want to call it. But
the NAIAS.
But everyone else is calling it the Detroit Auto Show now.
The NAIAS. Everyone else.
But
everybody uses them interchangeably anyway. It's not like it.
Yeah.
Well, until it's officially the Detroit Auto Show, I'm going to refer to it as NAIAS.
Well, and why does Montreal post-mortem get to call it the International Show now?
Because we are from Quebec.
Ribbit. All right, guys. So this is our wrap-up of the auto show that happened last week, whatever you want to call it. It's in the Motor City. So obviously a lot of cars were revealed. And the first one that we've got on our list here is a particular Cadillac. Eric, you were at the show. You saw this car. What'd you think of it? Tell us about it.
The exterior is...
Well, what is it, first of all?
Okay.
I was deliberately vague. Cagey there. Yes.
Well, there were actually two Cadillacs that were unveiled.
The big reveal, both literally and...
Well, I would say the bigger reveal, at least from the video production standpoint, was the CTS-V. coup.
We all knew that was coming.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they had the whole, you know, freaking nuclear strike and everything blowing up and audio at about 200 decibels for that one. But the Cadillac XTS, which is going to be the new flagship for Cadillac.
We say flagship in quotes, right?
Whatever. It's replacing the DTS and the STS.
Okay.
And
it's still front-wheel drive, though, so
no,
it's not like they're
no.
engorged.
It's all-wheel
drive. It's all-wheel
well,
drive.
Well, all-wheel drive, but front-biased, I would assume, right? Mm. Transverse yeah. engine, any idea?
They didn't go into detail. Okay. But it is a V6 hybrid.
Mm-hmm.
And the exterior is
hybrid.
Conservative in the art and science styling,
mm-hmm.
but not unattractive. Maybe
it's a good-looking car. I wouldn't say
the
it's
nose,
like a showstopper.
The nose and the headlight treatment's really good. The side could use a little more zing. But the interior of that car was spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, 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 really well done with materials.
Just like concept cars have. Really nice interiors.
Well, but the idea is that this car is supposed to be 12 to 18 months from production, and it's supposed to be pretty close to the way we see it.
Okay.
So they say. But it was nice because they used multiple materials. They used leather. They used what looked like real wood, not the fake wood that Cadillac puts in all their other stuff. It had some type of Alcantara or other mm-hmm. micro suede in there. Different colors, different textures. It was a really well-done car.
Okay.
And
yeah,
it's a plug-in hybrid, too. It's not just a standard hybrid, right?
Oh, is it?
Correct.
I'm pretty sure.
It's a plug-in.
Which is, you know, even more special for those of you who like hybrids and plug-in stuff.
I don't particularly.
It had multiple large OLED screens, not only for the dashboard and the instrument panel, but also the pop-up screen that uses that you see Cadillac using for navigation and stuff. They had those in the back seat for back seat entertainment as well.
And those are OLED?
OLEDs.
Nice. Just like the Zune HD. Silence. So, yeah, not a bad looking car, I would say. But it's like a Lincoln MKS, I would describe it as.
No, I don't.
No.
No?
No. Why not?
The thing I like the most about it is it fits with the rest of the Cadillac lineup, you know? Like the DTS, I mean, they just kind of slapped the new nose on the car mm-hmm. and called it a day. And this looks like a good cohesive design, you know? I haven't heard a whole lot of resounding applause for it, but I think it looks pretty sharp, and I think it fits with everything else the Cadillac's doing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks like if you took the front and back ends of a CTS and put it on the Audi A8, the 2011 model, I think that's kind of what it gives off.
Yeah, a little
bit. And I think for Cadillac, that's what it needed. It doesn't need to go crazy like the SRX. I think it just needs to get something to compete against the S-Class and the Lexus LS and all those cars. And I'm pretty sure this car might do it.
Yeah, we'll see. We will have to wait and see. So there were some complaints from people about the wheelbase being too short. You know, it's, 111 inches or something? That's kind of small for a flagship car.
Well, what's the wheelship on a standard wheelbase 7 Series BMW?
I think it's in like 120.
Yeah, it's pretty long. But the overall length is about the same between the two cars.
Lincoln MKS.
But I mean, you know, getting smaller isn't necessarily a bad thing, obviously.
No.
I mean,
not now.
Especially
that's
in a,
theme.
Yeah, not now, exactly. Especially in a quest for any better fuel economy. A smaller package means theoretically less weight. Of course, I'm not seeing any curb weight on this thing. But I can imagine with the hybrid system, it's pretty hefty as it is. So.
Yeah. Fat guy in a little coat, right?
That's right. Chris Farley. Gotta love him.
Oh, yeah. Bless
Where's
his heart.
The ding?
I know. Another pop culture reference. Have you been studying, Craig?
He has.
Pop culture moment. Next thing you'll know is he'll tell you Chris Farley's brother works at Ford.
It's cousin.
It's his cousin, though, somebody just told me. Jim Farley's his cousin. Mm-hmm. But they look alike. I mean, you can't listen to Jim Farley speak without looking at him once you hear that and go, oh, my God.
I'm looking for David Spade hiding in the background, right? No?
He's on his game tonight. This is blowing me away.
Ding, ding, ding. All right, so the XTS bowed in Detroit, and whether it was a showstopper or not, it seems to be a pretty popular vehicle. The next car on our list, not so much as popular, I would say, because we've seen it elsewhere a couple of times. Jeff, the Audi, you are an advocate for putting this one on the list, so I'll throw this to you. The Audi e-tron. Why? What's up with it?
I think this I wanted to put it on the list because I thought it was funny. Every time I see Audi in electric cars, I can't stop hearing the president of the North American wing saying that electric cars are for idiots.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this car is a little bit different. It looks more, I guess it's supposed to look like the R4, which is coming in the future. And this appears to have the styling toned down from the R8.
Mm-hmm.
Giving it more of a small car look, because the first one looked just like a clean R8, like no lines or anything. This one definitely looks much smaller.
Mm-hmm.
It's supposedly about the size of the TT, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, it's very close to that. Yeah, it was surprisingly small.
Those wheels are a bitch to clean, I bet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's got like a
200 spoke.
So how much torque do you think this thing actually has? Audi claims it has
3,000 foot-pounds.
Well, 2,976,
million
right?
foot-pounds.
No. They say it has 2,000 foot-pounds of torque. But the last time, you know, with the last e-tron, they said it had 3,000. It turned out to be more like 500 because they calculated it at the wheels in the final drive. So I don't know.
So the torque multiplication or whatever from the gears.
Yeah. Yeah. Which no one does.
The
1.21 gigawatts.
One thing I have to say is Audi. There was
great Scott Marty.
The e-tron and then the R8s they had at their display were both in colors that we're not going to be able to get in North America, and it's too bad because they were both really really spectacular colors.
The brown.
That brown, which one of the engineers told me what it was. It's some kind of brown that's referencing a peach in South America, and his German accent was so heavy I couldn't understand a word he said other than that. So I called it root beer, and I called it root beer brown, and you should have seen his face cringe.
Root beer, was ist das?
Yeah, exactly. And the blue that's on that e-tron is actually quite nice.
So yeah, if you haven't seen enough of the e-tron, can go to Detroit and look at another one, right?
Our friend Stephen Ewing from The Winding Road, mm-hmm. They picked it as their car of the show.
Really?
Yes.
Why? I wonder why.
Well, it's a cool car, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't tend to dig on hybrids, period, or, you know, anything with batteries for the most part. But it's cool, you know. It's supposed to be more rear-wheel drive than all-wheel drive, which is a sort of a departure for Audi, which is kind of neat. And it's supposed to be kind of fun. Yeah, it's supposed to be kind of fun to drive, which hybrids in general are not. I mean, they're rolling comas for the most part.
They're rolling shivos, right?
I still don't think, you know, this has 155-mile range, which is still pretty impressive for what's coming out lately for electric range. I still think for electric cars to get popular here, it's gonna have to be at least 300 or 400 miles.
I had an interesting conversation with the Tesla people, and mostly because I think that company's like major vaporware.
You think?
Yeah.
All right.
But they're actually selling cars. I mean, as opposed to like Fisker, which
smoke
and mirrors.
Just got $15 million today.
Fisker.
Yeah.
Surprise. It's called political connections. Al Gore's an investor. It's going to get money. But they were saying that for the Model S, even if you had access to a 480-volt system, to get to 80 to 85% charge was going to take at least 45 minutes, if not an hour.
That's ridiculous.
Exactly. I will – yeah, anyway. So I just
– yeah.
Well, I mean, you think – yeah. All right. I mean, I see your argument. But, I mean, trust me, I'm not a proponent of electric cars at all. But you think about it. How often are you in your freaking car and driving that distance, you know? I mean, for most of us, our cars either sit in the garage or sit in the parking space at work. And if you had charging systems there, you know, you drive the hour or, God forbid, 2 hours to work, plug it in, work all day for 8 hours, hop in and drive home, you know?
But it's more the freedom. I mean, that's what everyone wants. I mean, SUV. That's why everyone wants all these big cars that can go 600 miles. They just.
I mean, I understand that, but, you know, the reality is you drive 600 miles maybe once or twice a year, you know? So I don't know. I know people aren't going to go for them because they want to be able to, you know, feel like they can go wherever, whenever. But I mean, the reality is nobody does that.
If you live in suburbia, it's probably okay that you can plug in. But if you don't, if you live in a city or, you know, in some kind of condo complex or whatever, are you going to be able to plug it in?
You don't know. I mean, you know, that's the thing. I mean, right now we have such a massive infrastructure for gasoline that, you know, it's hard to imagine that when this kicked off, there weren't gas stations, you know. And I'm sure that people with the first car had range anxiety, you know, back then.
Range impotence or whatever.
Actually, it's an interesting thing because I thought about this for either hydrogen or electric. The first gas stations were actually at dealerships.
Really?
Yes.
Never knew that.
Wow. So. Interesting.
Well, staying in the Audi Volkswagen family, our next car on our list here is one that really caught my eye. I thought it was pretty sharp at the show when I saw it. And that was the Volkswagen NCC, the new compact coupe concept. It's nothing wild or outrageous. It's just a very – it's like a Jetta coupe is what it looks like. And I just thought it was really sharp, really cleanly designed. It has a lot of Audi cues to it, I think. You know, along the sides, they're very clean. The wheel arches are kind of pronounced. And the back end, you can really see the taillights pinch in as they go across the trunk lid, exactly like on the A4. And plus, there's a little, like, lip that runs along the top edge of the trunk, kind of like an Audi. Just a really nice-looking car, I thought.
Craig, I'll be honest with you. You're turning me on.
Yeah, sorry, Zach.
There's only one problem with his description.
And that would be?
I'll let everyone else talk about it, and then I'll shoot off my mouth on my opinion.
Okay.
So, Zach, what did you get a chance to check out photos of this car?
It's like you say, it's just a super clean design. Again, a hybrid. You know, everybody rolled out a hybrid, but you know, this car would be fantastic with a little even the. You know, a turbo diesel engine would be fantastic in this little sucker, 50 miles to the gallon, something like that.
Well, they say they've got the 1.4 liter TSI. I believe that's the supercharged and turbocharged engine they make. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not sure. I haven't read too much about the...
I think it is. They've got a supercharger that works on the low end, basically, so you get power right off idle. It's a root-style blower driven off a belt, belt-driven, obviously. And then you have a turbo that kicks in later, and that's so that you don't have to deal with turbo lag. Right
now,
you know,
here's what I don't get. That little 1.4 puts out 150 horsepower and 177 foot-pounds of torque.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, they feel like they need an electric motor with another 27 horsepower.
They don't.
Yeah, I mean,
but they just wanted to call it a hybrid, I think. So they plopped that in there along with
By the time you throw in all the cables and batteries and motor. I mean, you've offset
It's a cod piece, essentially. Really, show that we're a hybrid. Look, we're
really,
a hybrid.
The electric isn't so much for the hybrid point of mileage. It's more for, in Europe, the CO2 bullcrap.
Yeah, but I mean, if you weren't, I don't know. It puzzles me. I don't get it. I mean, if you weren't carrying it around, it can't be saving you that much, you know?
Michelle, what's the woman's opinion on this? We haven't heard from you.
That thing is it's so boring looking to me.
Oh, come
really?
Now.
Yeah,
you don't like tasteful, clean styling, understated elegance. All right,
tasteful, clean. No, it's just very. It's not very exciting to me at all, and I really kind of just don't. It's very much how the Kizashi or whatever that cereal's called. No, I mean the Suzuki. The Suzuki.
Seven whole grains on a mission.
It's not to me.
So this design doesn't speak to you, then, you're saying?
No.
What do you want, like big fender flares, or what are you looking for? Chrome door, opera windows? What do you like about design, then?
I just think that when somebody's going to try to do an innovative design around a hybrid concept, they should probably do something that looks a little bit different, that uses the imagination so that people are sort of inspired to have something a little bit different. I mean, a Civic hybrid is still just a Civic, really, right?
Yeah. And Hooniverse Jeff in the chat is agreeing with you. He's calling it the VW Blanda Bear. So there you go. Eric, you also had some commentary about this you were saving for last. What have you got? What's your take?
The nose is a barely modified current generation Golf. The profile view is a Kia Forte, and the rear end is a complete rip of a Audi A5.
You see Kia Forte in there?
If you see profile view of it, yes. Well, either that or a Honda Accord Coupe, but they're essentially the same profile.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. I was very underwhelmed. And the worst part of this whole intro was that they had dancers that were near, not quite as bad as Volt dancers, but equally as irrelevant to the whole
doing
intro
the Carlton.
Thing. Yeah, it was, oof. Yeah.
All right.
So, and I see more Scirocco in that nose than I do.
Yeah, maybe Scirocco. Yeah, okay.
This was the only car at the show where I was walking past it, I glanced over, and I just stopped and stared at it on the turntable as it went around.
Really?
Yeah. Now, granted, I didn't get a whole lot of time to wander around, but I really thought this was a sharp-looking car. And I think it's a pretty thinly disguised design exercise.
This is the car that they're going to be building in Chattanooga. There's no ifs, ands, or buts.
You think this is going to be the new
mid-size
sedan? It's so small, though. It's Jetta size.
They said off the record that it was going to be one of the cars they're producing in Chattanooga.
Okay. All right. We'll have to see about that. All right, Zach, the next thing on our list, I assigned to you, Honda CR-Z. Tell us about it.
All right, so Honda's been teasing their resurrection of the CRX for a long, long time. And at first they said it was going to be a hybrid, and that kind of rained on the parade. And then they said it was only going to come with a CVT, and then that kind of rained on the parade even more. And then they backpedaled and said, no, it's going to come with a 6-speed manual transmission, and that made it a little bit better.
High five.
And what they came out with was a car that,
steaming pile of fail.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to like this car. You know, when they rolled out with the concept, I guess it was about a year ago, it was super good looking. It was super exciting. And what they wound up with was 122 horsepower.
Oh, okay. So it's got a lot of torque and power. Some get up.
128 foot-pounds of torque.
All right, now we're talking.
And it gets 36 miles to the gallon and 38 miles
That's
to the
it?
Gallon on the highway. That's it.
That's for horrible.
Hybrid two-door two-seater.
And Zach, you got to tell them what it weighs.
Yeah,
4,800 pounds.
28.
Pretty close. Yeah, it's unbelievable for
so
a car
this
size.
So it's a two-door, two-seat hatchback.
Yeah.
That
gets
weighs
worse mileage
more than my Focus.
Yeah. Gets worse mileage than the Insight.
All right, to give you an idea,
if you put
that
a Honda
car,
K20 in here, just pull it out of the Civic Si, you'd get that mileage, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That's
how did
the
they?
Thing.
How is it
I
that
don't know.
Bad? Honestly.
You know, here recently I've seen Honda lose its way a lot,
Lately, yes.
Yeah, I don't get it, For a while there
the Cross Tour, the Accord like swelling up like Jerry Lewis. I mean
Acura.
The whole thing. Yeah. Oh my god, Acura. I mean, you compare the company with what it was, say, I don't know, 10 or 15 years ago, and it's a complete 180, Things are just getting bigger and heavier, and I don't really understand it. I mean, the CRX was a great car. I mean, the CRX, you could get 40 miles per gallon out of that car all day long. I mean, that was out of the SI even, mm-hmm. the little hopped up version. That's not even the HF, which was the super fuel efficient version. And it was still a blast to fling around because it just didn't weigh anything.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's just, fat. It's a good looking car. I like the look of it. I'm disappointed. Maybe I'll drive one and it'll blow me away, but I seriously doubt it.
Jeff, you got any strong opinions on this thing? I think you said it right there.
It's just – it is – the numbers are so disappointing. This car was supposed to be like a Prius
the return of Honda. That was supposed to be it.
I mean, the design, it's very CRX-like. I wrote a review on it. It said the nose on this thing would make Barbara Streisand happy. it's just like in so many aspects, this car is disappointing, but –
couldn't they have just reskinned a Honda Fit and put the K20 in there and be done?
Or, even screw the K20. They could have just, left the motor out of the Honda fit in there.
Honda,
you know,
K20.
No, trust me, I love the K20, but I mean, realistically, I mean, I don't understand how they fucked this up that bad. Excuse my language. I just it upsets
me. Think about this. They're going to price it above an Insight, okay, which is ridiculous to begin with. But for that price, you could pull out all the hybrid stuff, which I'm sure adds $3,000 or $4,000 to the price
and pounds.
I say and 600 or 700 pounds to the equation. Put in the diesel from the European Civic. Paid the price for all the extra crap you got to put on for emissions in the U.S. And you could have had a car that would have been fun to drive because it would have had horsepower, torque, and probably would have got 60-plus miles to the gallon.
Yeah. Does anybody know why Honda's not bringing their diesel here? Has anybody figured that out yet?
Laziness.
It's the NOx emission stuff and mostly the state of California.
Well, did they ever get it to run clean diesel sans urea injection? I know they had some big breakthrough they were working on. Woo, we can do it.
There was still some sort of aftertreatment in it.
Did they say, Eric, that they were going to price it above the Insight? Because it definitely looks like a car they would try and price below it almost.
No, it was the whole – that was one of the big buzzes around that reveal is they didn't say what they were pricing at, but there was it was sort of said that it was going to be above the Insight in price.
Okay.
You know. Speaking of the Insight, I mean, compare this car to the first Insight, hybrid, and look at how awesome that car was compared to this one. You know, just for an example of how poorly things seem to have gone for Honda.
It's like a slightly burnt piece of toast. You know, you'll still eat it, but you won't enjoy it.
Exactly. You're just upset about it. You're
and you're like, how did I fuck up toast?
It's toast, man. All I've got to do is push the button.
Exactly. Well, then you got that knob that controls how long it's in there and all these other variables. Is the bread slightly stale or is it a wheat and not a white? And
then, oh, no, really? You spilled hybrid on it.
Exactly. So enough disappointment, I think, for now. We'll move on to the next car on our rundown here, which is the Buick Regal GS. Which I was admittedly pretty impressed by. Now, granted, it's just a reskinned Opel, but they're offering a stick. I sat in it. It looks nice. It looks good in person. The interior is pretty good. I would consider driving this. Michelle, I know you weren't at the show to see it in person, but having read about it, what do you think of it? Do you like the design?
It looks like a fun car. You know, I'm not mad about the design, but, you know, then again, a G8 GXP wasn't a beautiful exterior design either. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's like a grandpa's car, and that's kind of what this is. But it's, you know, kind of fun to drive, supposedly. Eric, you're saying it's going to be real, right?
Well, they're already selling it in Europe as the Opel
OTC
Insignia GS there, and there's a guy who's a he used to be a factory superbike and factory MotoGP rider who's got one. He just picked it up today. So, anyways. Sorry.
I mean, there's hope, but who's going to drive a Buick, really?
Well, that was sort of the thing is the reason I put the links in there, no one will know who this guy is that's listening to the show, but the guy who supplied the pictures that are the sub links in here is under 30 years old. And, you know, rides big horsepower superbike motorcycles. So, I mean, and he's liking it. So all it is
a
badge.
He's also got the Sport Tour. He's got the long roof version, which is decidedly hotter. Yeah. Got to say that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Just going to put that out there.
I mean, this could reinvent the brand, potentially.
God, they've got such a long way to
go,
man.
They do.
Is anybody who's alive right now, does anybody think that Buick is not just like their grandmother's car, you know?
I'll tell you what. If they just started consistently releasing cars like this, reskinned G8 or something, you know, whatever. Call that the Lucerne. Not that it'll ever happen, but if you build, they will come. That's what I believe. And if they started solid products, manual transmissions, powerful, with like a line of whatever GS or whatever you want to call it. What were the high-performance 80s? I forget. The Grand National the GNX, was it?
The GN and the GNX.
Yeah. Do a separate trim line like SVT or something. You could conceivably reinvent the brand, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, and go from there.
But why bother? I mean, that's the thing. I mean, GM's got Chevrolet for that shit, you know?
I mean, because you're trying to do a little higher end version. So Michelle, I mean Michelle, when you were in town back in December, you rode around in that LaCrosse that I had. What did you think of it?
I mean, I've always been really fascinated by the entire LaCrosse story, just because it was Chinese
horrible
designed.
Hmm?
Yeah,
horrible name for a car. I don't care what about the French connotation, you know, problem with it, but it's just a stupid name for a car. I'm sorry, Michelle.
But why, Craig?
LaCrosse? Why didn't they call it badminton or something? Some other dumb sport, you know?
Hi-a-lie.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with Hi-a-lie.
Hi-a-lie's awesome.
They
could have just strung together random letters and numbers like BMW and Lamborghini. So I suppose we should at least be happy they picked an actual word.
The Z-Drive 35iQ47?
That's the one.
Yeah, something like that. Sorry. Wasn't there a month in there, too?
Probably.
January.
Yes.
But I thought the Buick was pretty well. In fact, one of the things I've got to finish in my review of the LaCrosse, I know we're talking about the Regal, but I went and spent some time in the Lexus display and looked at the ES350, which I figure is a direct competitor, right? The interior of the LaCrosse was nicer.
It blows it away, doesn't
yeah.
it? Design-wise, maybe
everything
not
about
execution-wise,
yeah.
the Buick is probably better, but not blow it out of the water. But the Buick certainly looks better.
Well, the interior was phenomenally better.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. And well, the ES has been around a few years now, probably 5 years. And it's due for an update, but we'll see. I think there's hope for Buick. I would have rather seen Pontiac survive, but hey. That's just me and the rest of the auto community.
Yeah, I think that's probably my biggest gripe with this car is that, you know,
Pontiac died.
It would have been easier to move Pontiac upstream than it would have been to, you know, bring Buick to people who are under 79.
But wasn't Pontiac trading on a reputation that was like 30 years old as the sort of the performance division? Because other than the Trans Am no longer exists. The Firebird Trans Am was long gone. The G8 wasn't really selling until they discounted them like $9,000. And other than that, they were just...
Mm-hmm. Oh, they had the Solstice GXP. They had...
They had started the revolution, I think, at Pontiac. They were further along than Buick is certainly now. But
I just remember the first... I worked at a dealership when I was coming out of high school, and it was a Pontiac and Buick dealership in Royal Oak. And I was talking to one of the salespeople about the clientele, and he's like, the people that come in to buy the Pontiac, it's their first car, and the people that come in to buy the Buick, it's their last car. And it's just – I think it's going to take a lot to get people to think of a Buick as sporty.
Did he break down into a tear-jerking rendition of the Circle of Life?
It's a circle. Yeah.
Well, until the early mid-70s, Buick was – not the old person's car. It was like if you wanted a car, but a luxury car, a nice car, but couldn't afford a Cadillac, you bought a Buick.
That was the step. Right. Well, each brand served a purpose. You know, you'd start out Chevrolet, then go Pontiac, Oldsmobile, whatever. You'd work your way up the line. Now every division has its own spread. You know,
yeah. But I think what they're trying to do with Buick is get back to that where Cadillac is going to be the high end, where everything's going to be expensive,
mm-hmm.
and Buick can have a lot of that same dynamicism. With a different style, you know, different exterior style, where the Cadillacs are kind of an edgy, you know, knife edge kind of thing, where the Buicks seem to be very roundy
mm-hmm.
In their looks, but
very
they could
technical terms.
Well, that's an artsy term, roundy.
Roundy.
The dynamicism of the roundiness.
Yes, exactly.
Wait, are we playing this word game again this week?
That's exactly what I thought. When you dropped dynamicism. That's exactly what I thought.
Enough about that. Let's get on to my favorite reveal of the show. And drum roll, please, Ben. Yep,
the car that we won't see for 16 months is...
Such a Debbie Downer, Eric.
I know.
Every time. You break my heart.
You're like
this
alcoholism.
This guy had his spirits
like
up, and then you just knocked him down.
Setting the porch on fire. All right, so the Ford Focus, 2012 Ford Focus, was finally revealed. And I think... it's a pretty nice-looking car. Not going to lie.
It's about 8 years too late, though.
What do you mean? Did you see the interior?
No, I'm just
saying.
You saw
pictures.
No. They needed this back when they redesigned the last Ford Focus. This is a great car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah. Super good looking. Very sharp.
It's very sexy.
The five doors and knockout. Even the four door with the trunk thing isn't horrible.
I even think the four door looks better than the hatch.
No.
No. You're crazy, like Craig. You've been doing roofies again.
Yep, pretty much.
Did they have the interior on the five-door for Detroit?
Nope, it was still that same red.
Still the same one I saw?
Yeah, with the black thing over covering the interior, so you could, so you didn't realize that it didn't have one.
Yeah, this, I think, is going to be a revolution in the C segment. I mean, Ford is clearly moving the car
for the U.S.
Yeah, well, and maybe for the world. One Ford now, don't forget. I think now that they have the Fiesta, which is an excellent B-segment car, they can really push the Focus up a little bit. And when this is in the showroom next to the Fusion, I think it's going to draw a lot of attention, you know, and people may end up shopping down. But this car, just looking at the interior alone, is it's gorgeous.
Yeah, the interior.
It's like Ford stole all of Honda's win and put it in the Focus.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
Ford has mojo right now.
The one thing that was really cool about in December when we saw this car was the use of materials that Ford's doing with that they showed in the four-door one. There was like a leatherette, there was a ultra suede, and then they had this like really textured
like a jogging suit or like I know what you're saying. It's a coarse feeling.
Yeah. It's actually like a jacket you'd wear on a sport bike type of textile jacket, and it was really, really well done. In fact, some of the interior in the Fiesta and now the Focus are actually in some ways better than the more upscale cars they have.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, they're really,
which is a good thing. It's a good thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I don't get that exactly. Why are they doing that five door Focus though? If the higher end Fiesta actually fits, I mean, it's like becomes the BC kind of, you know, which one is it?
The Focus is a lot bigger, though. When you see them side by side, the Focus is actually quite a bit bigger than the Fiesta.
Hmm. Okay. I haven't seen them next to each other. They didn't have them. They had two foci on the turntable.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you went and you looked at the Fiesta and you walked directly over to the Focus, you'd go like, oh, well, that is similar profile, but much larger scale.
I mean, overall, a pretty sharp car, though, inside
and out. The rear of that car is very good looking.
Mm-hmm. The five-door?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The only questionable design thing that I have about it is the grills in the lower bumper. They look kind of insectoid or bug-like, you know?
You mean Audi-ish?
Not really. No?
I'm sorry, Michelle. The correct term is square frame.
No, those little triangular ones bother me. They look added, tacked on.
But if they weren't there, that front fascia would look.
Well, no, I mean they need a vent there definitely, but the shape could have come up. I don't know.
It looks very. It looks like the nose of a Formula One car, where the nose sits way high and it has the two things that come down, and then you have the wing.
Okay.
Well, that's what it reminded me of.
All right, I'll buy that.
So how long is it going to be until we see one of these things?
Spring next year.
That's not 2012. That's not that long of a wait. My Focus will hold out.
Anybody know what they're going to price this thing at?
Oh, it'll probably be up to 30, I would guess. If you guys are totally loaded, I'm just guessing.
Well, in the same way that a Fiesta is 23 grand, if you check every single possible option box.
Mm-hmm. I'm talking base here. I'm not talking.
Probably 17, yeah. 18.
That's not bad.
Not the
bad.
RS, but they probably won't bring it here.
What's talking about your grill there, Craig? Mad Science in the chat says, "Om nom nom, I'm on your highways eating your bugs."
That was the one thing that meme's been going around for a couple weeks now about Fiesta's 23 grand. I'm like, go if you check every, like,
don't get every goddamn option.
Like literally, I selected all but like three options. Granted, I had a manual versus the DSG thing in there, and it was like 19.5. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, but tell them what color choices you picked, Eric.
Did I pick the blue?
Electric pink. Baby throw up?
No, I picked the white one. I had the white one, right?
But then you went with the crazy interior.
Yeah.
It was so motorcycle guy.
Well, I mean, dreaming.
If you have power windows, door locks, and mirrors, air conditioning, that's all you really need. You can buy a lot of Rand McNally's for $2,000 for the nav system.
Exactly. You can
yeah.
You could probably even get a globe for that price.
You can get a Google phone that has it all built in for you, or a Droid. See, I didn't say – you thought I was going to say iPhone, didn't you?
No, you're referencing something you sent me in the mail the other day.
What did I send you in the mail the
Craig's
other day?
Craig's Google phone or something, you called it and fired it off. But
oh, okay.
Video on YouTube. Got your YouTube.
Oh, the Zune phone?
No. That's old. There's something else.
That's called a tin can, Michelle. I'm sorry.
All right, Mr. Technology Bowman. I'm going to get you replace Leo Laporte soon. All right. So they're talking a 2-liter direct injection 4-cylinder engine here. They're talking, what, 155 horsepower for the Focus? Not bad. I'm sure it'll get outstanding fuel economy as well.
Class leading.
Class, really? Like best in class?
Well, that would be what the marketing geeks would tell you.
I don't believe it. 12-to-1 compression ratio.
Is it
Holy
that
crap!
High?
That's high. That's what it says.
Didn't they figure out how to make it run off of
dreams and
hopes? Urine?
No, not urine. Although that's funny.
Off of baby tears.
Unicorn urine.
Even with that ridiculous compression ratio, doesn't it run off of 87 and not, you know, like mid-grade?
I think it would probably be 87. Ford is making deal about running on regular.
Yeah, that's one of the things that they were talking about is all their stuff will run maybe not at full power, but at like 98% power
on
87.
Top. Right. Like, same with the 5-liter, too.
Yeah, I was going to say the 5-liter is 402 horsepower on 87, and it's 411, 411 on premium, so it's like, why bother?
Yeah. That's pretty good. Of course, I'll probably have a 2-liter EcoBoost as well.
Didn't they announce that?
Yeah, looks like it. No power numbers, though, but that'll be – it's got to be, I would think, 230, 250, somewhere up there. That could be the RS right there. Screw the 5-cylinder. Just do a 2-liter, right?
Well, they're losing Volvo, so.
Yeah. Well, I hate 5-cylinders anyway. So if Mark Shermer or anybody at Ford PR is listening, can the 5. But they're probably not, so.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever actually hated an engine.
I've never driven a – you've never hated an engine. There are so many crappy engines.
I don't think so. I don't think I've ever actually loathed an engine.
Chrysler 3.7 PowerTech V6. You can't tell me you like that engine.
I didn't say I liked it. I just didn't say – I just didn't hate it. You know, I mean there's a difference between, you know, not preferring and hating, you know. Mm.
All right.
Mud Monster found the video for the phone.
All right. Well, there you go. It's in the chat and you can watch it. Should you choose so to do. All right, folks, enough about the Focus. Really, that's enough. But I think it's time to take a quick break. After that, we'll jump feet first into another edition of our newest segment, Meet Your Roadmates. Plus, our very own Michelle Joey Naranjo sits us down on her couch for another installment of Psychology. Again, that's right after the following message. So don't go into a diabetic coma. We'll be back as soon as we are.
You feel sad, hopeless, not excited about cars. You don't like looking at vehicles, talking about cars with your friends. You may suffer from automotive depression, a problem that hurts many enthusiasts. But now there's Once a Week Roundabout. Roundabout is specially formulated to help relieve automotive depression. Talk to your doctor about Roundabout and see if it's right for you. Side effects include nausea, headaches, having stories about Shriners, admitting you saw Miss Congeniality, taking cricket bats to people, wanting a Subaru Brat, changing your name from Luke to Guest 14095, going on about using catheters, and talking to someone called Mud Monster. If you have an erection lasting 4 or more hours, talk to your doctor as it can be used for car seats. Automotive depression hurts, but with Once a Week Roundabout, it doesn't have to.
That, I don't care what you say, that is amazing. Then that is courtesy of Mud Monster. That's an unsolicited ad he sent us, and he knocked it out of the park as far as I'm concerned. That's brilliant. Nothing, guys?
That was good.
I absolutely agree. I'm sorry. I was
it's
typing
priceless.
That was fantastic.
Michelle didn't like it.
I did.
Tough customer.
There's catheters.
Catheters, Subaru Brats, and erections. What's not to love?
Today on Cat Chat with Michelle Naranjo.
Someone
where
just
did that
snorted.
One come from? That,
another mud monster.
Mud monster? That's awesome.
It's good to have a loyal fan base, singular and fan, of course. So, all right, guys.
We have two. Yeah. We have Rich as well.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Mr. Stewart. Oh, Jimmy Stewart. All right, now it's time for another. It's time for a blind spot story of the week. When news topics go unnoticed, are underreported, or otherwise fall off the radar, they land in our blind spot. This week's story has to do all about golf carts. Isn't that right, Michelle?
That's right. What are we talking about? Oh, drag racing golf carts. Yes,
yes.
I love these
you
guys.
You tagged this story in Delicious, and it was tasty. So tell us about it.
It's awesome. I mean, how better to combine your hobbies than golf and racing golf carts? Although looking at these guys, I don't think they play golf.
Why would you say that,
know.
Michelle?
They don't look like typical golfing kind of.
Are you stereotyping again?
Maybe I am. But I love that they do it in a high school gym. They race their golf carts in a high school gym. They soup them up. They get them all done. I mean, like, what a great little hobby. It can't be that expensive, right? Like Bondo and some spray paint.
It's like building a pine race car or whatever.
It is.
Except you can drive it.
They're grown-up Boy Scouts. Exactly. Oh, I'm sorry. Were you an Eagle Scout? Why do I think you are? You are,
no,
aren't you?
No. I was never in Scouts. Believe it or not. No, I had... No. Mm-mm. Ben was.
Cub Scouts for 2 weeks.
Ben was in Choir Scouts or something.
Choir Scouts?
Weren't you, Ben?
Choir Scouts?
No, yeah, he was just raped by his priest. Yes. Sorry,
that's a line in my upcoming Kia Forte review, by the way. I'll spill the beans on it now. The brake pedal is touchier than Father Flanagan after choir practice.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So.
Ding, ding, ding.
Do you always have to make me sound retarded, Ben?
Oh, he doesn't have to try, Craig. Don't you worry. So I'm looking over this article here, and at some point the guy's talking about having to put on a flame suit, in quotes, before he goes racing. Don't think that's a big worry, buddy. Trust me.
You know what? I think they're overly precautious because they're very enthusiastic in their writing. And if you read at the end of their little article, he actually says, well, unknown, I had two bottles of fake champagne chilling all day in the van.
Oh, see, now I get it. It's not actually like a flame retardant suit. It's a suit that looks like it's on fire. That's his flame suit.
Yeah, gotcha. They're just cautious guys.
That makes sense. All right. So it's not
safety
a safety
makes
issue.
Me
it's
mad.
It's a style issue. Gotcha. Blue flames, too. It matches his blue flamed go-kart. Golf cart, sorry.
And his limp wrists.
Oh, that was mean.
Oh, well, I'm a mean kind of guy, I guess. But yes, racing golf. So I mean, there's one that looks like an old Chevy pickup right here at the top. It's blue. It's a nice blue with silver flames coming off the hood.
That's the guy with the flame suit.
Yes, it is. Look at him. He's got his yellow, like, Jegs hat on or something. Tearing
I have
down.
That exact hat, actually.
Do you? Is it Jegs?
Yeah.
Hey, win for me.
Came with parts for the Lincoln, the long-lost Lincoln.
Sad. But so they race in a gymnasium. I assume they're electric carts only then, so people don't, like, get asphyxiated?
Yeah, I mean, they're... Like the guy with the blue one, it's a little Mercedes something or another that he's built. And
oh,
I,
whoops.
Yeah.
It's got slicks on it.
It's a smart car. It's a smart car.
I once flipped a golf cart.
Oh, do tell. Ben, yeah. You got the...
You and Jimmy Johnson?
No.
Whoops.
And now, a story with Zach Bowman.
All right, lay it on us, Zach. How did you almost kill yourself?
Well, I wasn't actually driving. I was a passenger, and this was after a long day on the river with a bunch of my friends, and we canoed down the river, wound up at a buddy's farm, and the guy had a golf cart with ATV tires on it, which was
sweet,
you know, awesome. Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So there, we piled like five of us on there, and we're all driving around, and the guy who was driving had sunblock on his hands, right? Mm-hmm. So he comes over this hill, and it was gasoline powered, so this thing would get up at pretty good speed. He comes over this hill, and there's a ditch on the other side. Well, he comes down into the ditch and then catches air out of the ditch, and when he lands, the suspension compresses, mm-hmm. and when it expands again, it just shoots the
jounce
cart.
And the rebound hurls you
off onto its side. Well, me and the other guy who were on the back jump off, and the guy who was in the passenger seat was like, I don't know, 6'3" or so and like close to 300 pounds. And the guy who was driving was this, like, I don't know, 120. He was about your size, Craig. He was, like, you know, 98 pounds wet, right? So the cart falls on its side, and all we can hear from the wreck is, get off me!
Because, of course, it fell on the driver's side, so the fat guy crushed him, right?
Right. It was fantastic. It was really funny. Later, we ran over somebody. You know how, like, in like the Looney Tunes cartoon?
Wile E.
Coyote looks like he's got, like, tire treads down his side?
Mm-hmm.
That actually happens. Like, if you run over somebody with knobby tires, it looks like the tire tread. fantastic.
Zach, you got a story for everything, I guess.
That's right. It's been a while. Yeah.
This has been a story with Zach Bowman.
Indeed it has. At least your grandmother didn't kill
anybody.
A grocery
store chain, asshole.
Riding a golf cart. Some woman
that was my
trying to steal. Well, whatever. Close enough. So, blind spot is done. I think we've officially killed that story. What do you guys think?
Yeah,
Eric is browsing porn. He's awfully quiet. Per the usual.
Busted.
Hey, you guys know what that sound means. It's time for the mystery word of the day. No?
I actually don't know what that sound means. I'm sorry.
Oh. Well,
we're playing Mario Kart? That's what the music sounds like.
That'd be awesome.
I just thought we'd fill an awkward spot with a new word for Craig.
Okay. You gonna come out and give me the word?
No. It's no mystery. We're not going to play that again. That was too confusing. I'm just going to challenge you to use it. Everyone can know what it is.
All right.
The word is... Freningerant.
Ow.
Stop making things up, please.
Freningerant.
How do you spell it?
F-R-E-N-I-G-E-R-A-N-T.
It sounds
An
like
adjective.
A slur.
It doesn't even exist. F-R-E...
N-I-G.
F-R-E-N-I-G-E-R-A-N-T.
That's right.
All right. Wow, there's only one search result that comes up in Google. It's in a book. And I don't know even what it means.
It was used from 1656 to 1681. The definition is bearing a bridle. As in a horse bearing a bridle.
And that's an adjective?
That's right. The horse was rather frenigerant. Frenigerant.
Frenigerant.
Can you use that in another sentence?
That's Craig's job.
The word of the week is frenigerant.
Oh,
there
wow.
You go.
That was well done. That was
what
well done.
About a refrigerator magnet?
Yeah, right.
He was surfing porn.
Yes, he was. He's got that glint in his eye and that lump, well...
If
in his throat.
Yes.
If by porn you mean vintage two-stroke motorcycles, then yes.
Did you see that Ducati I found? I got to show you. I'm sorry.
No, I didn't.
No, it's
friend
awesome.
Nigerant.
All right.
Horse's bridle something. Thank you for expanding our vocabulary, Ben. You're doing us a favor. Resurrecting these dead words like that.
Got to check out the chat there, Eric.
Ooh.
All right, next, Craig.
All righty. Our next frenigerate segment, it's time for another installment of Psychology.
So you're telling me that you feel inadequate because your mother, she was a Kia. Why don't you pull into my garage and tell me how that makes you feel?
Psychology is a semi-regular segment all about psychology and cars, presented by our very own Michelle, Joey Naranjo. Michelle, it's your turn to steal the show, just like you stole that baby back in 1993.
Where'd the Joey come from?
Naranjo. Joe? Joey?
Because you can't bring yourself to say ho?
Do you want to put the ho in Naranjo? Is that what you want?
Trust me. You can say ho.
It's proper pronunciation.
I don't speak Spanish, though. Naranjo. So I read it the way I see it.
But he does speak Streetwalker, so that works out.
Streetwalker is waving a $10 bill out the window at 8 Mile. That's all you got to do. Not that I know about that.
It's a lonely, lonely existence in the frigid plains of Michigan.
And not much else up in, I would say Lapeer, but you're in Romeo.
Close enough.
Same
There's
thing.
Definitely nothing in Romeo.
I know. I've worked in Romeo for a very short period of time. There was nothing in there.
Well, we do have a couple bars in the downtown now. So if you're ever up that way.
Anyways, Michelle, tell us about this week's psychology.
Well, I don't know. Have you guys ever seen that movie Safe with Julianne Moore?
No, and who's that?
Well, it's one of the creepiest movies I've ever seen in my life, because it's about this housewife that decides that everything around her is, you know, somehow attacking her, like all substances. She basically has this thing called echo anxiety or eco anxiety, however you want to pronounce it. And there was an article in How Stuff Works about, which I put the link in the chat for people so they could have a look, about how many people in our population are now increasingly have this eco anxiety, which I guess is kind of like having, you know, what's that called? Agoraphobia. They're afraid of, yes, that one. Agoraphobia. I'm the psychologist here.
Agoraphobia is what? The fear of corn?
I was about to say agrafeed.
Good one, Eric.
So I think the statistic that they're saying is something like over 30% of our population currently suffers from this on one level or another, where, you know, people are kind of like freaked out by the paper or plastic question all the way down to
freaked
just
– What? Yeah, did you say 30%?
That's what it kind of started.
I am the opposite of this. I go and buy spray paint and just set it off so I can, you know, it's cold outside.
Right. You bug bomb your parents' house probably every weekend, right?
I burn tires.
I was about to say, burns tires for heat, burns coal for fun.
For fun. Yep.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, the one study that we're not going to really get into today was the one that I read about the Generation Y and how many of them actually take into consideration the environmental concerns when they're buying cars. And they said over 60% of them said that was a concern when they'll be buying a car. Interestingly, they also, as a majority, said that they owned cars that were either given to them or sold to them by their parents, and most of them were not going to be buying a car in the next 2 years. But it's this thing that's happening to people, I think, where they think they have to have an environmentally conscious, you know, existence, and that includes their cars. Like, that's why we judge each other, right? Like, Fresh and Easy, the grocery store chain out here, actually has parking for hybrid drivers.
Fresh and Easy. I thought you were going to talk about something else.
A feminine hygiene product.
No, or your Saturday night. I don't know. Which one.
They're owned by Tesco, which is, you know, the European brand, but it's out here. And they actually have parking spaces for hybrid customers next to the handicap spots.
In fact, in front of the handicap spots. Right?
I would vandalize those so fast.
We park the Mustang in them constantly.
Yeah, that a girl. And seriously, though, I mean, I guess I can understand where this is coming. I mean, there's a lot of pressure to, you know, to be environmentally conscious of what you're doing.
I'm going
to
be here for maybe another 80 years if I'm lucky.
The only thing missing from this article is a quote from a Eli Lilly or a Johnson & Johnson rep or a Pfizer rep saying, "We have a drug for that."
Yes. Eco-anxiety. Right. It's called alcohol.
Well,
naturally,
you know,
organically grown vodka or something.
I don't know. This is one of those, not to dismiss mental health at all, But this is one of those things of it's a very first world kind of problem. You've got so many choices that you have to find things to stress out and worry about. And this is a, you know, how about just enjoying life and not freaking out about breathing and you'll be fine. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, in section 4 of this article, they actually point out that there is a new branch of psychology called eco-psychology, and it is entirely devoted to the study of environmentally spawned angst.
Can we thank Al Gore for this?
Angst is the best possible word for this.
Yeah.
People have loss of appetite, irritability, panic attacks, insomnia, nightmares, unexplained weakness, and actual physical pain. Holy crap.
Right. This is one of those things where people need to find things to stress out about because they can't be happy.
Oh, my God.
They're afraid to be happy.
They're using paper towel?
The sad thing is I've seen that person.
Yeah. The scary thing is that, you know, people probably sleep better at night thinking they own a Prius than being afraid of the fact that they own a Prius and could potentially have runaway, you know, problems with the car and drive over, you know, a family of children.
The fact that there are giant open strip mines in South America because of their car.
I can say that they're the Honda Prius, their Toyota Prius they just bought had a bigger footprint than the 7-year-old car they just traded in on.
Mm-hmm. Well, exactly. I mean, you're right, Zach. In Peru, they've actually gone in and been confiscating land that was previously considered worthless from families who've owned the land for centuries and done goat farming or sheep herding or whatever it is, because they have these large deposits of the you know, what they need to make the batteries for these hybrid cars.
And that raw material gets shipped to the States where it's refined, and then the refined material gets shipped to Japan where it's put in a battery, and then the battery gets shipped back to the United States in a car. So
it's brilliant.
That's the way to do it. But they're saving the planet.
I like it, Casey and the Sunshine Man.
Okay. I love the caption under this photo here. Some ecotherapists help patients by urging them to carry around remainders of nature, like pebbles or bark.
Welcome to 1975 and the Pet Rock.
I like to keep a piece of birch bark rolled up in my pants pocket, right next to my genitals. That way it reminds me of Mother Earth.
Oh, yeah, that's the only way Craig can get wood.
Oh. Zing.
Is that a roll of birch bark in your pocket, or are you just happy to see me?
It's birch bark.
Oh.
Okay. You have cottage cheese thighs.
So, yeah, this is one of those crap like this really hacks me off. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, the way I look at it, okay, people believe in global warming, that's fine. But there was an ice age, what, 10,000 years ago? Doesn't that just explain right there that there's some bigger climate shift that goes on?
Well,
North of Michigan was under 2 miles of ice.
Granted that, half the current, since Jeff had to leave, I can say that half the current people online right now that are participating in the show weren't born when these things happened. But in the 70s, there were things like the front cover of Popular Science and all the other things. We're talking about how we were entering another mini ice age.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden we've gone in 20 years from mini ice age to, you know, if we don't stop things in 3 weeks, we'll never be able to reverse global warming and we'll all be underwater in 100 years. I mean, these guys don't have an explosive deleted clue.
Mm-hmm.
Or the results they come out with are funded by special interest groups who have an agenda and need reports to say certain things, and I'll get off my soapbox at that because otherwise we'll be here for 20 minutes on my rant. So,
all right, and we
don't need that.
Can't afford that.
It would be very Dennis Miller-esque from his old HBO show, but you know.
But when you think about the fact that this next generation coming, Generation Y, the next big lot of buyers, is the second largest population since the baby boomers, right? There's 75 million of them coming that have been brought up like this.
Mm-hmm.
So are the car companies just doing those concept cars that look like hybrids and look like EV, you know, that they're not really going to ever make, and they're going to have to do kind of a bait and switch on these kids? Or
we can only hope.
Yeah. Give me my 5-liter V8, damn it.
God damn right.
It's pretty clear that, you know, EVs and hybrids are going to be a mainstay of most manufacturers' portfolio pretty soon. I mean, that's going to happen.
But and to fulfill what, though? 15% of market of the whole market?
I mean, that's the, you know, talk to your average yokel.
Talk to your doctor.
You know, and tell him, all right, this car is going to get 40 miles to the gallon. He's not going to care whether it's saving the planet or not. He's caring that it's saving him cash so he can buy his fucking cigarettes.
Exactly.
That's what he cares about.
All natural cigarettes, Indian brand, right?
Yeah, whatever.
Michelle?
Right, American spirits. Yeah. I mean, is this just like idealism, right? That people think that life can be like that?
It's preachy. That's what it is.
I think, Michelle, I think you're onto something there, because I was looking through that study, that the other thing, and it really is interesting that young people say, yes, I would pay extra for something that's more environmentally friendly. I'd like to see them after the age of like 25 when they actually have real bills, and then you present, well, you can have A, and it's good for the environment, and it's, you know, at 15% or 20% premium. Or you could have this, which maybe isn't so environmentally friendly, but it's a better price. And I want to see the decisions they make at that point. Now, if they continue to follow through with paying more, good for them, and honestly, good for them. But I just want to see if that's one of those young idealistic things you can say when you have no responsibilities in life, or if it's actually a true belief.
It's true. I mean, I think that with all the PZEVs that were offered in the last few years, which, you know, the partial zero emission vehicles, the manufacturers will actually say that they think it was their fault for not marketing it mm-hmm. well enough, but they were options on the sales floor. So people didn't take it, you mm-hmm. know?
The whole subject
price,
just,
you know,
makes me angry, you know? So, I mean, because we're the more common, cooler heads and common sense will not prevail in this situation. You know,
I have a brother-in-law who every time I'm there talks about how much he wants a Chevrolet Volt. And this guy is a brilliant guy. I mean, he's genuinely intelligent, you know. And I just, every time he says that, I just want to smack him, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, just don't understand.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's not helping. That's not helping.
Yeah.
I like the
anyway,
yellow jacket.
I think we're burning a lot of daylight here, so we got to keep this thing moving, give it an enema. So I think now it's time to move on to Meet Your Roadmates. Who's driving that Jeep Liberty next to you? Why do Nissan Sentra owners always work at Coney Islands? Each week, Meet Your Roadmates answers these burning questions and more. Ben, what's our first vehicle this week?
Well, let me punch up the supercomputer. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Aha!
Marlowe and the Magic Movie Machine.
Our first up here,
I'm afraid,
is a 1994 Subaru SVX.
I have no friggin' idea who drives that.
let me meditate on that one for a second. SVX, eh?
Is that the one where they had the weird looking? Okay, the windows don't roll down, and then the steering wheel is like weirdly asymmetrical, I think.
Yes.
Bizarrely so. Who drives that?
That's a tough one. That's a.
God. What a ball buster he is.
That would be. That's definitely an engineer's car.
You think so?
I think it's somebody that's a car enthusiast and that wanted to be quirkier than. That's a car enthusiast but doesn't know about cars. How about that?
A Saab wasn't quirky enough for them?
But this is this is less mainstream. They got it for a good price. And it's a Subaru. Like Subaru, Zach, so don't be giving
these
me
these weren't cheap in the day either.
They picked it up for a good price. And, you know, hey, it's rusting out. And they work at either a Dollar General or Walmart currently. And they paid about $2,200 to $2,500 for the car, would be my guess. That's all I got.
Is this who drives or who owns? Because I'm sure a lot of people own SVXs that aren't drivable.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I don't know. I mean, one of my buddy's grandfathers bought one of these brand freaking new and loved it, you know? I mean, it wasn't like a super performer, but it was unique enough looking that, you know, everybody was sort of interested in it.
I assume it had a boxer four.
I don't know what it had in it,
actually. An all-wheel drive.
Yeah.
Is this your grandpa that like had the car that he went?
No. No, this was a friend's grandfather.
According to Mad Science, they were six cylinders in them.
Hey.
Okay. Well, I mean,
I got nothing, Ben.
I got nothing for you, man. I'm stumped.
Next.
I've actually.
Okay, you know what, you guys? I'm putting one on the chat where it's kind of like the car on Jalopnik with the girls. Oops, I'm sorry. I just posted the wrong thing. Sorry.
Well, way to go.
But it's a girl. It's a girl on one on eBay right now. It's live. You can bid on her or the car, I mean.
Ooh.
She looks better than the girls on the Viper, I'll be honest with you.
$800.
Do they that a lot on eBay to try to jazz up cars?
Yes.
Although no tattoos, so you don't know that she's above 18. So.
Well, I was going to say she looks maybe 16.
Hey, jailbait.
Is that an SVX? That is not an SVX. What is that?
That's a Honda, is it? No. It's an XT6.
Nissan NX?
Oh, it's a Subaru.
No, it's a Subaru. It's a Subaru.
The labeling has fallen off, but you can see where the glue used to be.
It's an XT6. Okay.
It's the intro to the SVX, it says.
In a time before SVXs.
SVXy, yeah. Mm.
Surprisingly little rust. All right. That's good.
Well, it is in Arizona.
Oh, well, there you go. Oh, no. One of the exhaust tips rusted off.
Hey, be nice, Zach. Come on. She's an old girl. She's got a lot of miles on the hood. Chassis rusted out years ago.
Yeah, I don't know about these girls. They definitely look jailbait there.
Yeah. All right, Ben, what's the next one? Lay it on us.
Let me punch it up.
Joker, Joker, Joker.
We've got a 2002 Nissan Quest GLE.
It's the same as the Mercury Villager, isn't it? No, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's but the year before the wacky design, I guess.
I'll tell you who drives the Nissan Quest, my aunt, actually. Mm-hmm.
Somebody that's looking for a shitty van, that's who drives Nissan Quest.
That's right. Cheap minivan. So you're looking at maybe somebody who's a little below middle class but has like three or four kids, needs to get them around. That's it.
I see the wife of an Arab grocery store owner or something, Middle Eastern grocery store driver. I don't know why.
I was about to say I've seen a few of them running around in East Dearborn. So.
Oh, well, hey.
Yeah, I have no
idea. That's another doozy, Ben. I don't
know. Yeah, you know, people that own those actually like love to tout like more interior space than, you know, everything else on earth.
Those particular vans?
Yeah, I guess if you're packing a bunch of kids in their crap, can I say that?
Yes.
We said much worse, Michelle. Honestly,
me,
you're
well
asking
beyond that. The crap barrier, all right.
Wow. Ding, ding, ding.
Doesn't get old, I'll be honest with you.
All right. Another one, Ben. Make it the last one. Make it a good one.
Oh, this is a good one. The 1986 Suzuki Samurai.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
that
yeah.
Is a good one.
I love that.
Perhaps my favorite so far. All right, so I'm definitely thinking somebody who's a hunter, okay? Likes to spend a little bit of time in the woods. It's small enough that it gets through the trees. I would say somebody maybe in his mid-50s.
James May.
James, yeah.
Well, no, if you saw the Top Gear this year, they did a South American special, and James May had a Suzuki Samurai.
All right, there you go. Or anyone who lives on like St. John or St. Thomas. Those guys love the samurai.
You know, I always imagine some teenage or high school-aged girl driving one of those. I don't know why.
That was the X90.
That's your fantasy, Craig.
So the girl's posing for the pictures on the Subaru is what you're telling.
Maybe younger than that. They're texting while they're driving, and the ragtop is ripped to shreds, to ribbons, and yeah.
No, these are huge enthusiast cars. I mean, Vernon Haywood, who used to be from AutoByTel and MyRide.com and all of that, he was like the originator of the Samurai newsletter. And we were talking about the Samurai the other day, and it like there's huge Samurai clubs now. People are restoring them and saving them. When I was in Vegas the last time, there was I was up in Red Rock hiking, and there was a group of samurai enthusiasts with their tricked out little samurais.
Weren't these big?
I'm a little confused by the fact that there's a samurai newsletter. Like what news develops around the Suzuki Samurai?
Well, it was he did that when it was originally starting, but
this
now
just
there's
in, our car still blows.
aren't these big for diesel conversions too? No,
I don't know.
I've never seen crickets. I've never seen one with a diesel in it.
Eric, are you high? I didn't want to ask earlier, but no.
No, because I am subject to random drug testing at the moment. So,
oh goodness,
that's
working at the KFC.
No, no.
Sorry, he's angry now.
No,
just pouting. Thanks.
Correct.
All right, that's enough of that. Stupid car trick, Ben.
Stupid car trick. What do we have?
You have music to play, first of all.
Oh, yeah.
Hi, Ben.
There is that.
Ben, are you high? I didn't want to ask earlier.
Go on, boy. Go get it. Come on now.
Alright, so what we got here is
failure to communicate.
Well, failure on Ben's part. But it's an X5M. That's a BMW, in case you didn't realize.
It's not a real
means
BMW.
It's expensive. Was heavily damaged by, I guess, ice flew off the top of a truck?
Oh, I don't want
Ben,
that.
Roll that video.
Okay, well, I was driving, and a bunch of ice came off the roof of a transport truck. It's a new BMW X5M, brand spanking new. Here's what happened. You can see it's missing a piece of the grill there. The hood's dented in right there. It's hard to tell.
His mouth
come up to the
move
side, and it a piece took this mirror out.
Cause it's too cold.
The part that makes me feel real lucky
Canadian.
Is look where that hit the windshield. And if you come over here, you can see if you touch it, the windshield's actually soft.
Get you in
there's glass
the
all over the inside too. I think if it was any faster, it probably would have gone right through there. But it makes you count your blessings when you see a hole like that right in front of your face and the windshield held up, because that could have been pretty ugly. So if you're a transport truck driver watching this, please, for Christ's sake, clean the snow off your damn roof.
I never knew ice could be that deadly, Ben.
Or you could quit tailgating trucks. Either way.
He's drafting for the fuel economy.
Well,
to be fair,
there's fuel economy on
actually
X5M.
You got to do what you can, Eric, to save the environment. We all got to do our little part.
BMW has sold their soul. They're no longer BMW with crap like that. Sorry.
Well, it's funny when it happened. Like he is a journalist. This was a press car.
Auto 123.
Right.
.gov or .org.
And I asked him about it. What, you know, I'm glad he was fine, but, you know, the whole thing is, what does that tell him about the quality of the car? And he said that the piece of ice that hit that window was like a torso.
Could have sunk the Titanic.
Right. But still, I think what shocked me was the side mirror and the grill. Like, why would they just fall off like that?
Well, you've got to imagine. It must have been really freaking cold. Plastics just get brittle when it gets that cold. You know, there's just nothing you can do about that.
They get refrigerant, I think.
Yeah. And I mean, you look at the hood. I mean, it takes a pretty serious blow to wreak that kind of damage on sheet metal like that.
Just think of what a rock coming off a semi does to your windshield, let alone a probably 40-pound chunk of ice. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, be careful out there. Shit happens.
It does happen.
If that happened to the Focus, I wouldn't be happy. If that happened to an X5M I was driving, I'd be really pissed.
I wouldn't.
Unless it was BMWs.
Well, but still, I'd be disappointed that, you know, I got to file paperwork now.
That's true.
And I get writer's
cramp.
If you
have Geico on your iPhone, you can do it right from your iPhone. And take pictures and submit your claim.
Oh, Craig can do that from his Zune, right?
If I have Wi-Fi.
Oh.
And now it's time for
something What's it time for?
Highway
the
hearsay.
Next segment, Ben? It's a good thing I'm not paying any of these. Work ethic.
Good thing you're not paying any of us.
It's camaraderie, Zach. Extra bonus. And you got a t-shirt, so... Highway Hearsay is all about what we've seen out on the road, from weird sightings to the stupid things people do. And Eric, you have a video for us this week, don't you?
Yeah, so right...
Show us about it.
This was right before Christmas, I believe, is when I saw this. I was shipping out some cameras for onboard.tv.
Okay.
And...
Nice plug.
Yeah. Actually, I'm sorry. It was afterwards, because I see in the background I'm driving the V6 Camaro, so...
You might want to mute your audio.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I thought I did. Okay. Anyways, so I'm at the post office, and as I pull in, I see this RX-8, and I'm like, okay, yeah. And then I realize I see all these stickers, and I'm like, yeah, okay, typical idiot. And then I couldn't resist, so I walked around it and saw just how many stickers it had on it. So I just happened to have my flip camera with me, because I was going to shoot some video of the Camaro, and walked around it, and this thing literally has 200 plus stickers on all the windows.
Wow.
So, and what I'd like to know is, was that sponsorship, or, you know, did he think that gave him extra horsepower, or
yeah. I mean, I'm not against stickers, but that's a lot of damn stickers.
It's like every possible aftermarket sticker he could find, he put on the car.
And just enough room to see out of, you know?
Maybe.
Do
you think he had like a really hot older sister that collected stickers or something?
What were those things called? I don't know. That store at the mall with all the crap that for like little girls they sell, like stickers.
Pokemon cards?
Yes.
What is it? She must have been there, worked there or something. I don't know the name. I've walked past the store.
And the thing is, well, it's an RX-8, so it's not like it was bad on horsepower, but the thing really could use some torque, so.
Well, it's the Wankel Rotary.
It's a wanker, all right.
I love that car.
Yuck, 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 yuck.
So, yeah. All right, Ben. To spare you the agony of editing another hour and a half roundabout, I think we can wrap things up right now. So, Eric Tritko, thank you for joining us again live in the studio from Dearborn, Michigan.
Actually, I'm in the
shit.
I'm actually the studio. I think from Livonia, Michigan. But yes,
from Dearborn.
Oh,
I said,
yes. So you can check out all kinds of stuff about the Detroit Auto Show at the website, which is rumblestrip.net. You can also see some of the car reviews I've been doing, including a video one of the V6 Camaro, and a few other things in there as well. So yeah, go check that out and go buy some cameras from onboard.tv.
Very good. And Jeffrey Ross
has taken off for the day.
Yes, he had an engagement. What was he doing, Jeff? Something down at the meat packing plant. He works there part time, I think.
That's your job, buddy.
Ding Zach, ding sorry. Ding. Asshole, Ben. I say it every week. Never gets old. Zach Bowman.
Yes, sir.
What are you doing?
Let's see. I'm on blog.webridestv, exhaustnote.com, and green-racer.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at z_Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N.
Cool. Any stories coming up you'd like to talk about?
Not just yet. I may have something exciting to plug next week. But
all right. We'll be waiting with bated breath.
All right.
And Michelle Naranjo?
There it is.
Is that right?
He did it.
I don't want to be correct.
Speaking Spanish.
Olé. Hola. ¿Cómo te llamas?
Sprecken to Spanish.
Sprecken to Spanish. Should we get a roundabout shirt that says Sprecken to Spanish?
Sprecken to Spanish.
It's nice snort.
Oh, wow. That's the best.
Roundabout. Sprechen Sie Spanish.
Wow.
I think we have a show title.
Yo soy comestibles.
Wow.
All right, Michelle, what do you got? Anything you like to talk about?
Something. Just Michelle Naranjo. Oh, sorry. Miss Motormouth. That's my name. That's it. I'm sorry, twitter.com/ Miss Motormouth. And working on my blog, I realized this week that no one can leave comments. So that's why I was feeling no love. And apparently I'm going to be doing the red carpet for the Optima Ultimate Streetcar Invitational broadcast. I have no idea what that is. So I'm going to Hollywood on the 26th to cover that. That's
well,
all
that's
I'm doing.
Cool. Keep us posted on what happens. All right? You promise?
I promise. I'll
Pinky
be around.
Pinky swear?
I actually answer the phone when you call.
Hey. All right. And of course, Ben, thank you for your efforts as well to make this show as broadcasted as possible. Ben.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
And of course, visit our website, roundaboutshow.com, for more great content throughout the week, including links and show notes. You know, I've been doing a few auto reviews when I've had time. They're called A Closer Look. Check them out. I've got one on the Camaro, Mercedes E-Class, the E550, and the most recent one was the Transit Connect. So check those out. Leave some comments. Let us know what you think. We always appreciate that. And if you want to get in touch with us, go to the website again, roundaboutshow.com. Click on the email button in the sidebar. You can send us links and show notes and love if you want. Or scorn. Feel free. Just let us know how we're doing. We always like feedback. Oh, I'm getting to that, Eric. Don't you think I'm going to jump that. Also in the sidebar, very important thing to note. If you look over there, there's a little dollar sign. Click on that. It's a link to the Roundabout Emporium where you can buy all kinds of finery from T-shirts to mugs, thongs to pencils. Right, Ben?
That's right, Craig.
That's right, Craig. All kinds of Roundabout branded items. And in fact, if you glance over there at Eric, he's wearing his T-shirt right now. Eric, model that for us, please. I know you used to be a hand model, but show us your torso. Damn, that's a fine torso. And look at that Roundabout logo right in the middle there. It's like a target kill zone, isn't it?
Something like that.
Yeah, I guess. So go to the Roundabout Emporium. You can get all kinds of good stuff and support your favorite podcasters because we know we're keeping you entertained.
Didn't we get fan mail this week?
Did we?
We yes. did. We should do a shout out for our fan.
What was the fan? Oh, that was from
Clay.
Yes.
Bill
McNithers or something. Let me pull it up. Hold on. I've got it right here.
Oh. You could at least try to make up something that sounds like a real name, you know?
It's Clay McNichols.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Clay. We appreciate that you like the show. We're glad we're keeping you entertained. Send us your feedback in the future. Let us know what we can do better, if there's anything. I know we do a pretty solid job already. So thank you for watching. Thank you for tuning in. We all appreciate it very much, and we love to hear from you. Don't forget, we're on Twitter. Just go to twitter.com/roundaboutshow. Give us a follow. We'll follow you, whatever. All kinds of updates there every day. We update early and often. We're also on Facebook. Search for us. You can join our fan club page there. And also, if you don't want to ever miss an episode of Roundabout, you can subscribe to us on iTunes. Just search in the store. Or we're also on the Zune Marketplace for losers like me. Anyway, thanks to all of you out there listening. Join us again next week as we circle the Roundabout. We will talk to you then. Goodbye. Great job, guys. That was an energetic show. Except you, Jeff. You had to leave early. Screw you. He's late for choir practice.
No, they probably have to do wedding. What do you call that? Rehearsal.
But wait, I thought he got married already.
No, dude, you didn't. Did you listen to last week's show? He's not getting married till April.
I know, Michelle. I brought that up on purpose.
So I want to tell you guys, my daughter is apparently traumatized by the fact that we did the outtake with the blue poop.
With the what?
She just stalked out of the room because I even brought it up.
Do you remember that?
I don't remember that at all.
The Cookie Monster cupcakes.
Yes. So yeah, we can't talk about my daughter's poop anymore. She wants to be 16. Rich.
Yeah.
Jimmy?
Wait.
Jimmy Stewart here from...
Holy shit, that's good. Off the cuff, man.
Look, fool, you're supposed to be dead. I want you to stay dead.
Jimmy? Well, I can tell you what, Mr. T, I'm about as dead as your hairstyle. Unless you're down here, then it's still popular.
This is Roundabout. Shut up!
Are you sure?
Is that a question, Michelle?
Roundabout?
How do you pronounce that word?
Roundabout.
Oh, this is the best.